This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
oh Lord, we just come and repent this morning that we put you in a box and we limit your capabilities, Lord God, in our own personal lives. Father, we just pray that the shackles and the boundary walls will be broken today, Father. That we can hear your voice clearly, Lord God. That we do not harden our hearts, but Father, that we submit and trust you because of your name. Because of your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But what an amazing week. So in the first week of May, I spoke to you about the new song for a new season. And then Josh blessed us with his sermon on living your calling. Not just identifying it, not just reading about it, but actually living it. And then Mike with, see, it's always difficult to speak after all these people. You know, I've got to put something to you today that will also make you think during the week. So Mike brought us this new challenge that if we want to walk in our calling, it requires faith. And that left me to bring the message today. But amazing, the Lord has actually been working with me since the beginning of the month. And it's so amazing how all of these come into place, how all of them line up towards one thing. And that's actually where we want to go today, is to understand the supremacy of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So around about the 8th of May, I woke up the morning. Let me just backtrack one thing. I woke up this week in a pool of water one morning, and I said to my wife, I'm in deep trouble, because I just presented a whole sermon without giving one text verse, one piece of scripture, and that shook me, because but I haven't even given it. So just want to bless you with at least 90 slides of scripture today, so don't worry about it. We'll get through all of it. We'll make sure that you get scripture today. No, I'm just joking. On the 8th of May, I woke up the morning, and I was busy with the book of Judges. So Judges, I like to apply more or less what I like to apply what I see and what I read back then into today's terms, to see if the there and then applies to the here and now, if we are still in line with what we're doing. And you know what? It just saddened me in a sense, because When you come to run about the book of Judges, run about chapter 16, you get this strong character called Samson. And Samson was this incredible guy. But you know what? He was also a very proudful guy. And you know, the Lord used him for a specific reason. But then that morning when I read the specific verse in chapter 16, verse 20, and I saw what happened there, I was deeply saddened. Because what happened then, I believe, is still happening today. And verse 20 out of Judges says that the Philistines... And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And I sat there that morning, and I was just amazed. I said, Lord, is it ever possible for me to know that you have left me? And I believe in today's world it will be pretty evident if the Lord leaves us. Let me ask you the question. Who of you here today read this verse and began, when we read it now, and began to think, sure, how many times could it have happened to me? I'll raise up my hand first. Does it not speak of our life as Christians, about our relationship with Christ and why we are here? And then we get to, then I sat there and I was like, okay, Lord, so you definitely want to tell me something, because when you get to the end of Judges, it sort of ends on a very sad note as well. But I believe the Lord wants to work with us through that. So I started reading the Psalms, and I get to Psalm 8, verse 4. And I had to keep quiet for a while when I read this. And we sang the song this morning, and Psalm 8, verse 4 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" And I stood there, and I sat there in my study, and I was like, Lord, you truly want to say something deeper to me and to us about where we are, about who you are, and what our relationship with you is. So in short, it just shows that even though God made the heaven and the earth, he still takes notice of mere human beings. But he doesn't just take notice. He says that he is mindful of us and he cares for us. You see, God wants to go deeper with us, because this will require a change in our lives, of thought and of attitude. Because when we read this, and we work through it, and we understand, you know what, we're just not mere humans, but God is mindful of us, and he cares for us. There's a thought and an attitude process that need to change in our lives for us to go deeper with God. Our thought and our attitude needs to be in place to grasp the superiority of God and the superiority of Christ, because they are one. So if we look at the trend over the years, we will see that people grew more in themselves, and correct me if I'm wrong, and further from God. And only a small percentage of people now truly have an active living relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not making it up. I believe it's evident in the world if we look at the world around us. You see, we as people are supposed to conform to Christ and not conform Christ to ourselves. But instead, we do it the other way around. So I believe God is calling us back to that place, in recognizing his supremacy, recognizing him for who he is, and then building our relationship based on that. So my sermon today is not to prove to you or build a case for Christ. I'm not here this morning to show you evidence in every aspect of Christ's life and what the Bible says and backing it up. I'm not here to put that forward to you today and ensure that you and convince you that you have to have this relationship with Christ. No. I'm here to give you information, scriptural information, so that you can seek and experience God himself. Because if I bring it before you and I just say to you, this is it, you will always make that choice. But when the living God intervenes and he touches your life, believe me, there will be a change in your life. You will not be the same. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I've personalized that quite a lot in a deeper place for me when I sit in the mornings with the Lord and I say, Lord, draw near to me, Lord God. I want to draw near to you. Draw near to me. And that's something that we must long for. That's something that we must stir in our own hearts in order to get that, you know. So today's invitation is to live a living relationship with Christ. Why? Because Psalm 8 verse 4, which says, he is mindful of us and he cares for us. He considers us a friend. If you are a friend of somebody else, you will make an effort to spend time with that person. God makes an effort. And you know what? He doesn't hold back when we give our everything. So let's turn to Hebrews 1. And we're going to start reading there. From verse 1. So I'm going to read the first chapter and the half of the second chapter. And then I quickly want to touch on one or two key things on there. As I say, it's not for me to lay out the whole thing for you this morning about the supremacy of God, but I want you to understand that there's a place for you to seek that, to spend time with God. But I want to make it clear as to who we are dealing with today. So let's start with Hebrews 1 verse 1. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of glory of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet, for your feet? And they are not ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For it was not the angels that God subjected to the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? The same verse in Hebrews that I read in Psalm 8 came to me 4 or 5 days later. And I just realized, you know, what are we doing? See, this is revealing times. God is here to truly reveal himself to us. He's the supremacy of his Son, Jesus Christ. So if we go to the first verse, verse 1 and 2, we can see 4 points of contrast that occur between verse 1 and 2. And that's to illustrate the difference of how God planned in bringing the message to us. The first one was the long ago versus these last days. If we look at that verse again, it says, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So here we see the first contrast was long ago versus these last days. There's a difference in the time of revelation. Prophets versus sons versus the Son. God is Christ is our agent of revelation. And I believe that God these days speaks through us as sons. Father versus us, the reception of our revelation. Way back, he spoke to them in the Old Testament. He spoke to the fathers, to our fathers. But now, through Christ, he speaks to us. Many times and in many ways, the unity of the final revelation of the Son. See, the last revelation came at one time in one way and through God's Son. So since God has spoken finally and fully in the Son, and since the New Testament fully reports and interprets the supreme revelation, once the New Testament is written, the canon of Scripture is complete. See, there's no new book needed to explain what God has done through his Son. All we have to do now is await the second coming of Jesus. See, Jesus is the heir of all things by virtue of his dignity as Son. The pre-existence, authority, power, and full deity of the Son are evident in his role in creating the world. See, the thing is, need I say more? But I'm going to. I just love saying things. But here's a question. Who of you see pictures when you pray? It's always nice, huh? A couple of weeks ago, we were praying one morning, and I was battling to get through to the Lord, in a sense, in my own struggle. And that next moment, the Lord just sort of opened up my eyes, and what I saw was amazing. I stood in this massive plantation with fruit-bearing trees, and Christ just going along through every single tree and picking the fruits. I want to encourage you that when you pray, seek that. Ask the Lord to show you and reveal to you what he is busy with in your life. So who of you have ever seen a picture? Well, let's do the exercise. If you see, I want you to imagine, as per Google and all the other forms of information that you can get, imagine the whole universe. I mean, it's actually impossible, but we have some form of reference of what the people has already done and shown us. So imagine the whole universe. Just imagine that. And you just see the stars. You see the different galaxies. I don't even know all how it all bands in together, because it's above my mind. It just goes when I think about it, because it's just so big. But think of that. And then we read this verse. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Think of this universe and see this radiant light shining so brightly that every single aspect of the universe is covered. In our human capability, we cannot think it is possible. But the supremacy of Christ shows us that it is possible and that He is currently doing it. How much more can He be the light in our lives today? Hey? If He can light up the universe, why are we limiting Him to shine through us? A small, mere human being. You see, glory is often viewed metaphorically as light. So He is a radiance of the glory of God. He is the light of God. Just think about that. Jesus is the full, definitive representation. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to test myself today, and I'm going to teach you two new Greek words. I've only recently learned them, but I actually like them because it's applicable to us. All right, so the first one, He is the exact imprint, right? He's first the radiance of the glory of God. And the exact imprint, the Greek word charaktere, which is translates back to character. Character. So the universe, we get God's light shining through, but we get the universe is the exact imprint, God's character, of God's real being. There it is, God's real being, His nature, hypostasis, God's real being, hypostasis. And so we can see the Son is identical in substance to God, being Himself fully God. In all attributions and abilities, the Son is exactly like the Father. The Son, who created the universe, upholds it by His own powerful word. I said in the beginning it's going to require a total new attitude and thought for us to grasp the supremacy of Christ. He goes on in verse 5, and He says, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you." So this we see is a citation from Psalm 2, verse 7, but it also invokes the whole psalm there. The Messiah is the anointed one. The there and then, the here and now. It's revealing times. The Messiah is the anointed one, King over all, and especially He is God's Son. It's a poetic expression that reflects the unique relationship between the Son to God Almighty, the Father and the Son and their relationship. So if you go throughout this chapter, the emphasis is placed on the supremacy of Christ. But not just that, but it's also placed on a relationship. Christ couldn't be supreme if there was no relationship with God. But through that relationship, He is the supreme reign over everything that we have today. So let me ask this easy question here this morning, but I want you to answer it thoughtfully. Who knows for sure that you are saved? Guys, there's two certainties. You accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and you do the third Greek word, metanoia, repent. Turn around 180 degrees. If you've done that, and you live an active living relationship with Jesus Christ, day in and day out, you will be saved. So know that in your hearts. Please don't hesitate to say that to someone. Your hand is supposed to go up first. So can you remember when you were saved? That's important. The long ago, in these last days, remember that. I remember specifically in 2015. And I know it's not long ago, but that's when I got truly saved. That's when I can assure you of my salvation. Because before that, I was a religious guy. God was the one who could help me out in my troubles. And believe me, there were many, many. So Hebrews 2 says, "Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" This is a warning. God comes and He declares the supremacy of His Son, Jesus Christ, but He also puts a warning in it. He says, this is the great salvation. If you neglect it, you're in trouble. "It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Amazing that we can see that, you know, the book of Hebrews doesn't, they don't know who the writer is. There's still a lot of confusion about it, because one says Paul, the other says, no, it's this guy or that guy. But this guy never met the Lord Jesus Christ. This book was written 60 years after Christ. That's another 27 years, if I'm right. Yeah, 27 years. 33 plus 27 gives us 60. 27 plus years after the death and resurrection of Christ. So for this guy to have this revelation, we've got to understand that there was a gift of the Holy Spirit imparted onto him for him to be able to write this. And he gives the account for us to realize today, in these last days, the here and now, the supremacy of Christ. See, if I read this and I think about my salvation and I think how, in a sense, in certain areas of my life, I've neglected it, I became very quiet. And I had to think very carefully about my next move. So we too often, again, and I'm going to come back to the first thing, and that will be your key thing for this week, is again, I come back to the place of conforming to Christ and not conforming Christ to us. You see, we conform Christ to the image of a children's Bible. Then we do the outlines and we place it on the fridge as a magnet. And then we walk past, once we've colored it in, it's like, ooh, ha, oh, so beautiful. And unfortunately, it happens. It happens in our lives on so many occasions, but we don't always realize it. You see, Christ is a superior being. He's a creator of the universe. He's greater than Moses. He's the great high priest, the certainty of God's promise. He's the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man. For was it not the angels that God subjected to the world to come, of which we are speaking? It has been testified somewhere in Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? And then we go back to the beginning and we read in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, our karaktere, our hypostasis. See, God clearly intended and he wanted us to be his image on earth. See, before Christ, people couldn't get it right. So God had to send his Son to redirect us away from ourselves so that we can come back to him. And then in one final revelation, Christ laid his life down, and for a little while he was made lower than the angels, but he was raised again and crowned with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. And still, though, he warns us, still he poured out his great love for us on the cross so that you and me here today can be saved. I'm not here to convince you, but I'm merely here to testify this morning about who God is in my life, what he has done for me in my life. And you see, I don't always get it right, but I can testify today that walking in the way of the Lord that he has prepared for us, it's not always easy. It's very hard. In fact, Christ tells us, don't actually even go there if you're not willing. And I'm going to slowly end off. See, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to testify to him, testify to the world what he has done in our lives. And I'm going to read from Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2, which says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. This is a willing choice today. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. You are the living breath of God today. Every single time that you open your mouth and you say something, you do something, you take a breath, you breathe in the living God. He is the supreme one, the righteous one, the just one. And his heart here for you today is to see that, to conform to him, and do not conform Christ to yourself. Open your heart. Hebrews 3 verse 7 and 8 says, and I'm going to end off, I'm finishing up with that, and I want you to close your eyes when you hear this. It says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And Father God, this morning we come to you to submit ourselves again, Father God, to take the picture of the wall of what we have conformed you to in our lives, but Father, we give it back to you and say, Lord God, conform us into your own image. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. So Lord God, this morning we thank you that we can declare you as the supremacy in our lives. And Lord, we repent of neglecting our salvation in you. And Father, may you give us the courage this week to live an active life, Father, of celebrating our salvation, and Father, bringing it back next week with new people, with new influence of what you have done in our lives. Be the radiant light in our lives, Father, that people will be drawn to it and not drawn to the world. May they draw to not us, Lord, but they draw to you that is in us. And as we sit now, if you are in that place and you feel that you've neglected your salvation, but the Lord says that he is mindful of us and he cares for us. And he wants to bring you back, thank you. He wants to bring you back to that place of salvation, of knowing and understanding that, you know, he gave you a new life. So right there where you are, I just want you to pray and give by putting your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I give this back to you. Conform me and change me, Father, in such a way that I do not see myself anymore, but I only see you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord God, we thank you for your love today. We thank you, Lord, that you poured out your love for us so we can have eternal life. And Father, may that be evident in our lives this week as we go out from here, Lord God, and we celebrate the supremacy of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.